took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening. That may have gone in there. That's all right. I can edit it out. Let's start over again. Good evening or good morning. This is Pastor David.
This is Pastor Barry.
And we're back with Glorious Day. And it will be a glorious day. It's a glorious day today if you have Jesus in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, but you want to invite him, it's also a glorious day. But the glorious day is the day he returns. And before that, there's going to be a great revival. It's coming. I think it's going to start here in America, but quickly cross our borders as souls come to Christ in huge numbers.
It's coming, and coming like a tsunami.
Coming like a tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
We are, because we've heard the call from God to have this program, to encourage the church, those who are listening, to get stronger in your life in Christ. Or if you're not a believer, to strongly consider asking Jesus into your heart. Because that day is going to be a powerful day, and it signals, you know, what Scripture talks about if you go to the book of Revelation, which is God wins, Satan loses.
Oh, you just did a spoiler alert.
I'm sorry.
You told Mel it ends.
Yeah, I know. But it's a great book, and so many people are scared of it. We ought to do a thing on that one time. But
let's do that.
Tonight, the theme is God wants to be in government, not politics. Now, some time ago, we had Dr. Brenda McMenamin, who is a constitutional scholar.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant lady.
Oh, she is brilliant. She teaches constitutional stuff. She has an online courses, which are interesting. She also has now a brief program here on WCNO that airs throughout the week, and then it's hard set for Saturday. Mm-hmm. I forget what time, but it's in our on our website, WCNO.com. But we are coming up. This program airs before the midterm elections, which will be, I think, the 3rd or 4th of November. Mm-hmm. It's going to be this week. And so we, you know, it's critical for America that people really open up to understand what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that the enemy is attempting a coup, if you will, trying to take over, has already taken over several, you know, prominent people, leaders, elected and appointed leaders in our country. And if you can see by what's going on in the news and all the things they're pushing and just the weirdness of it, which is it's weird not because God's in it. It's weird because the devil is in it.
And you'll know that this is poison fruit being born.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to be in government. That's scriptural. Now, we only have a few minutes in our radio program to point that out. I'm going to read from Isaiah, which is one of the many scriptures that underscore that fact that God wants to be in the government of his people. Mm-hmm. He wants their government to reflect his values, his desires, his will.
Right.
And the founding documents of our nation, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution and all the amendments, the Bill of Rights, they all reflect divine input through the Holy Spirit as those men, founding fathers, 250 some years ago, were mm-hmm. writing that. Amen. So we have to understand, and there's a covenant with God that's even older than that. Here in America, those that came over in the 17th century, the Pilgrims. And so it's clear that, you know, God, and it's not just us, of course, every government, God wants to be in it. He won't force himself if people don't want him in there. But friends, because there are people today in power who don't want God in our government, that explains why things are not going well.
Right, and you should ask yourself, why do they not want God in government?
Why?
That's a good question to answer. Why don't you want him in government? What's he precluding you from doing?
The devil wants to steal, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his big. It's on his business card. You know, Satan, and there's a phone number which I don't remember. Steals, kills, and destroys. That's it. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. And so anything good, anything wonderful, he wants to corrupt. And so we are. I'm not saying that we are rolling over the edge of the cliff down into rolling at the gates of hell. I'm not saying that, but given time. Without good people standing up and voting for God-honoring people that have a vision of what's right for America and understand God's role in creating this nation and the documents that inform the shape of our republic. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. There's a very big difference, and it's good we're a republic.
That's right.
So maybe we'll deal with that in another thing, but... This is important for us as Christians to go to the polls having checked beforehand and find out what the candidates believe, what their platforms are. If in fact, now they may not all be believers, but some people, and we pray that they will become so, but some people do God-honoring things and have God-honoring ideas and opinions and practices.
Oh, there's the word.
Practices.
That's right.
And friends, we need to, I'm going to reshare this scripture, and then we can go from there. It's Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. And while you're looking it up in your Bible, I will tell you, and some of you may really want to write us and say, what are you talking about? Or you may want to write us and say, I was waiting for someone to say that.
Either way, we want to hear from you.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. You got a comment, you got a criticism, you got you're joyous about something, whatever it is. We're big boys. Here it is. It's an email address. It's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. Now, so here's the scripture, and then we'll have to unpack it a little bit. And you, by the way, this you'll recognize this. We hear it at Christmas time.
That's right.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it. With justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, twice in here, the word government appears. In the first one, and the meaning from the Hebrew of that the government shall be upon his shoulder, many people have misinterpreted this. They say, oh, well, that explained, because this is a messianic prophecy of the coming of Jesus.
So if it's messianic, let's see what it means in Hebrew.
Yeah, it means that this person, this Messiah, that the government of God will be upon his shoulder.
True.
It's as many in that day, the badge of their office, they pinned on their shoulder of their tunic or whatever they're wearing, you know. And it also then, as a metaphor, means that they're shouldering the responsibility. So it makes sense. You talk about the government shall be upon his shoulder. The Messiah will come to bring God's government to the earth. And then, of course, in verse 7, the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Now, some will say, well, that just means heaven. That just means the government of heaven.
Right.
And we'll say, well, in a sense it does, because God, you know, heaven is God. But it's God's government which he intends to have on earth. Why then would Jesus tell his disciples, if it wasn't true, why in the form of prayer he gave them, would he not say, right in the beginning of the prayer, to ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? And God's will is that his government be available to his people, that he be the government for them.
It's at that point where the folks who want to compromise or to corrupt the message will start to pick at it. Well, this is how I interpret it, or you're rationalizing it, and on they go. But the truth is, if you're going to call the Lord God Almighty King, you can't put him in a box and just stick him there.
Right.
Yeah. He's only king over here, but he's not king here because we have senators and legislators and a president. And, you know, he's only our king at church, and he's not a king here. And that sounds so ridiculous, and yet that's essentially what they're saying.
Yes.
He's a king, but we don't need a king. We need a senator. I heard all this stuff.
Yeah, you know? I know. It's a common, actually, it's one of the, I don't know, I'm not going to, well, I was going to say that the devil isn't that creative when it comes to lies, you know, but if there's a lie works, he uses it. And the one is that, you know, God is not interested in what we do in our governing. Now, if that's true, then much of the Old Testament would not contain stories of kings of Israel who either were God-honoring and God gave them favor and their people flourished.
Or
on the other side, they were not God-honoring. They actually did things against God's will.
Right.
And Israel were overrun by their enemies and they were exiled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so there's a plan that didn't work out for them because God said, I'll be your king. No, we want one here. Someone that we can, you know, put nice robes on them and
exactly.
Give them a crown.
Yeah.
Tell all the other countries, look, we got a king.
Well, because everybody else had one, why can't we? But God said, okay, and the first king of Israel was Saul. And look how that turned out. But then we had David. But the point is that every king, every leader is mm-hmm. given authority that comes from God.
Right.
They may not acknowledge it. I'm pretty sure if you went to Washington today and you were able to meet the president, vice president, all of the elected senators and mm-hmm. House reps, and were able to ask them, is the authority that you have today from God? How many would say yes? Not too many.
Right.
Because there's no concept but that authority, God allows it.
Mm-hmm.
But with it comes responsibility.
That's right.
And if you abuse the authority that God has given you, mm-hmm. there are consequences. There are.
There's another word, Dave, we don't hear much anymore, is accountability and consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, in the being governed by God, you would hear that all the time. But they've gone, the world has gone so far from the truth now.
Yeah.
And politically, I don't know about you, but I've been seeing these ads on ad nauseum, these ads, political ads.
Yeah.
And, you know, promises made, promises broken, promises kept. But I'm really not interested in any of the promises they made because they're not God-honoring promises anyway.
You know? Yes, because the people making them aren't God-honoring.
No.
And that's a big, you know, maybe we haven't seen that in a while in our government, mm-hmm. but it is visible in our history.
Right.
If you look at the first, you know, 100 years, especially 150, there's a story, it's a scene from a documentary about Mother Teresa.
Okay.
That I'd like to use as an example to show the difference between politics in terms of the deal-making,
mm-hmm.
and someone who has a godly vision. And, you know, frankly, if you're a believer tonight listening to us, wouldn't you like the people who make our laws to have a godly vision about that and bring that to the table? You know? I mean, I hope you do because, you know, you think how different we would be today. Now, I believe God's going to restore us over time. You know, that's in God's timing, not mine. But so here's the thing. This was a documentary. It was probably filmed maybe 20, 25 years ago.
Okay.
And in this one scene, Mother Teresa was in, I'm going to say a Middle Eastern country where she had been and her house had been negotiating for some land for a convent where they, and it would be always near where there were greatly needy people.
Mm-hmm.
And in her initial dialogues with the government, they were very amenable to giving her some land.
Mm-hmm.
And she had stipulated, now she had prayed about this, where should I ask? And so she had looked at a map. You know, God had pointed her. And so she had told them this particular piece of land that we would like.
Mm-hmm.
So the scene, now we open up the scene in the interior minister's office, the one who's making the decision, they're doing the final negotiating.
Okay.
And he's sitting at his desk. Mother Teresa is sitting in a chair next to the desk. And basically the interchange goes something like, well, ma'am, you know, we've made a change in the land. We're not going to give you the land parcel that you wanted. We're going to give you another one. And showed it on the map, and he was talking about what he said the benefits were. And Mother Teresa said, no, God told us that that original piece is what he wants us to have. And the minister tried several different angles, try to convince her otherwise, but she stuck to her guns.
Mm-hmm.
She was delivering a God-honoring message,
right,
from the throne room, and she would not budge. And of course, at the end of that, she got they cut to a picture of her walking a piece of land with some of her sisters, and they ended up giving her what she wanted, mm-hmm, what God wanted. But and so the thing is we need leaders, elected and appointed leaders, who will do that in their role in government.
And not budge.
And not budge and say, this is what's right. You know, now in politics, you know there's a lot of negotiating that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we understand that. There's negotiating even in really good circumstances, you know, where everybody is there because they want something good to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that here's the thing. God, trust God, you know, to do that. But at every level of government, even down into the bureaucracies that serve,
mm-hmm,
what we need to see, we need people who are God-honoring. Now, how are we going to achieve that? Well, we don't achieve it. But when God will cause us, see, as the voters, this is where it all happens. And Christians, half of us did not vote in 2020. All right.
That's a big chunk of voting,
yes,
block.
And if we would, if the other half, I'm speaking to the other half in Florida at least,
right,
and saying, look, you know, your vote counts. You've got to go, you've got to vote godly, people will have godly values. You know, and don't nitpick if, yeah, hopefully they know the Lord. We don't know many of them do, but what do they say they believe?
Well, you know, folks might say, well, I don't know. Well, we live in an age of the internet, and you Google these names, and you can read all kinds of things about these folks and their track record.
That's right.
The track record is going to say what fruit they're bearing.
Yes.
And what they're interested in, what they're not interested in. So say, too, in that voting booth, you pull that curtain, it's a great place to pray. Nice and private.
No one's going to drag you off until you make your decision and let God encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's very important. You know, it's very important. And the truth, you know, what we're talking about in terms of God's intentions has been forever.
Right.
About being in our government, in the governments of his people. And so, you know, we have to get recommitted, you know. And if you don't believe me, go to the Bible. You can go to Isaiah 9:6-7.
Mm-hmm.
You can type in your search engine, if you use Bible Gateway, which most people do, or whatever. Government. Govern. You know, and see how God is interacting with the people in that.
It's a good idea, David.
I think I hope that you know where to go in the Word, but mm-hmm, if you don't. Because God wants to turn this nation around. He's going to bring revival. We need to be a land that's honoring God,
mm-hmm,
you know, and we need to be a land that's making godly decisions at the very top of the governing bodies that make the rules, the laws.
Some folks will say, well, what's voting got to do with my Christian life? Everything.
Everything.
Everything. I hope I'm not speaking to people out there that go to church for 45 minutes once a week and call it a day, call it a week.
You might, we might be, actually.
Yeah, but you know, you have a Christian responsibility going on here.
The fact, if you're distressed about the fact that that abortion has been legal in this country for 50 years, if you've been distressed about that, if you're distressed about your children maybe using a bathroom at school and another gender walks in,
and it's
because
acceptable.
At that point they think they might be that gender that uses that bathroom and they're not, or if you're distressed with, again, back into schools, but you know the big thing now is the bringing the drag queens to assemblies, and having them do their thing. What about that is right? There's nothing about that that's right. I mean, we could go on, right? If you're a God-fearing person and you're making a mental list, you know, of the things I haven't said yet.
What would your parents and grandparents think of all this? Because they were entrenched in their Christian beliefs. I miss my father and grandfather, but I think they would be horrified to see what's going on right now.
They would, you know, I mean, they'd be rolling in their graves big time. But the reason why is because the church has disenfranchised itself from the going to the polls.
That's
and
right.
Believing that we could make a difference and that God even wanted us out there. And so we're reaping the bitter fruit of that apathy. And that has to stop.
You have to be part of the change that you want.
Right.
Get
and
up
it's,
and do something.
God's saying to us, I'm using you. I want you to go out there. If you're sitting back on your hands at home and saying, oh, God's going to have his way anyway, so why should I do anything? Well, if you've studied Scripture at all, and especially if you've studied the Scriptures that are a call to prayer, then you know that God is, through prayer, he wants his people to take ownership of his plans. And that he, you know, and there are occasions in Scripture where God doesn't move because the people haven't taken ownership. You could check that out too. But we are called today to do that, to stand up and reverse. God will reverse this horrible chaos. America is indistinguishable from the nation that our documents created.
They too would be horrified. Our founding fathers wouldn't understand what's going on. They'd have no, they would be full of despair, angry.
Oh, they'd be angry, I think.
Yeah, they'd be angry.
What have you done to the work we did? But most of them were all God-fearing people. So, I think they would probably say, you know, get it right.
Yeah.
Because God is not happy.
Fix this.
He
loves
you.
We know what happened to the Israelites every time they turned their back on God.
And just because we're not Israel, listen, we're dedicated to God like Israel. And there's a covenant with God like Israel. And it's the same thing because we are Israel, the new Israel, the church. We're here in America. God intended for us to be a nation. He'll get us back to it. But we have to go and vote people in whom God can use.
Yes.
You know, and he will if we will do that. If not, you know, Israel got exiled so many times, most of their suitcases had several stickers on it. You know, Babylon, Assyria, you know, the whole Persian thing going on there. And, you know, you can't sit there and say, well, it's not going to happen to us because we're not Israel. Friends, it can happen to us because we're not honoring God.
That's right.
And part of that is taking a responsibility to vote for people that, you know, and sometimes I go to the vote, I pray, God, who should I vote for? Some are obvious, some are not. But I feel like the Spirit's leading me. When I finally get to the voting booth and I can, you know, black in the right circle or whatever, because I feel, okay, I've got that from the Lord. I have peace.
Well, yeah. And one more thing, David, I think we need to talk about this with our Christian brothers and sisters and not hold it close to the vest.
Yeah.
We need to talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about other things involving the church. Why not this? Because this involves the church.
Absolutely.
And some people feel squeamish. Oh, we don't talk about politics. I'm not asking you to talk about politics. I'm not interested in politics. But you need to talk about who's running this country and who you want to run this country.
Many people don't realize that the Constitution provides for a government that pretty much leaves people alone to govern themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And by electing people who will serve the people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, Abraham Lincoln at his second inaugural address, in the course of that, said a great synthesis of the constitutional intent. He said he speaks of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Now, that is true, and that's the intention of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But, friends, let me ask you, do you feel like we are today under a government that's like that?
Not
or
really.
A government that every step of the way wants to control our lives, mm-hmm. wants to tell us more what to do? You know, I'm perfectly willing to have someone from the government help me if I need it. But to put mandates that make us give up our freedoms in order to satisfy those mandates.
And it starts there.
It starts there. And if we roll over and play dead, we deserve what we get. But I'll tell you what, God wants us to get what he has for us. And it's not that.
It's not that.
It's,
and, you know, again, what kind of fruit are they bearing? Are they meaning the folks that are anti-God, that want yeah. God not even spoken about in public? And you can go on and on with that. But what kind of fruit do they bear? Because you know people by the fruit that they bear. And we can go on another three shows talking about what kind of fruit has been born in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But check your gut in your prayer life. Ask God to give you the courage, the strength, the fortitude to do the right thing.
Amen. And if you don't know what it is, ask him to tell you.
He will.
Because he will.
Do the right
God
thing.
God is righteous. He's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Our time is up, Barry.
Again,
but I tell you, we have time for a brief prayer. I'd love to pray
Let's do
for
that.
Our listeners. Father God, we are perched on the brink of a very important event in our nation, and you know this. These midterm elections are very, very significant. Father, I believe that those who are elected to the House and the Senate and to even other state offices, those people, whomever they are either going to make or break a movement back to you. They're going to shape this government one way or the other. We pray, Lord, that your hand would be in it, that you would guide those righteous people into office. We pray that you would touch the hearts of voters to make right decisions, and especially, Father, get the church. And call. You won't force your people to do anything, but lovingly encourage people mm-hmm. to step up to the plate, to take responsibility, and to take their prayer into the polls, into the voting booths, for the sake of this nation and the covenant we have with you. For we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Until next week, God bless you.
God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Dark into your marvelous light.